are here. What's up, family? We are live right here on Tariq Radio. About to make it do what it do. Let me put on my old school voice. Oh, we're here, y'all. We're here on Thought 97. But we're here. Welcome to Tariq Radio. We're live. We're on time this week. Ready to chop up game with the family. Let me turn the music down. Anyway, man, we're here. We are here ready to get it popping. I'm bumping that new mix slide. That's the new mix slide featuring the APX. That's Wish for Love. Getting our 80s game on. You can get the pre-sale of the new mix slide album this Saturday on iTunes and I think Google Play. You can get the pre-order. Because the full album goes on sale July 20th. And we should have the new video ready this weekend. I'll probably broadcast that on Sunday's live show. All right? So you guys stay tuned for that. They're editing the new music video now. But what we're going to do, family, we're going to take a real quick commercial break because we're going to talk about the new Purge movie. And I'm going to give away a lot of spoilers. So you guys, if you haven't seen the movie, I would say watch the movie and then watch this show here. All right, so just sit tight, family. We will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
You still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Chris Fair, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You better recognize!
Yo, what's up, family? We're back. Glad to have everybody tuning in on this lovely weekday out here live from Los Angeles. Ready to chop it up with you as we always do. A lot of stuff we're going to talk about. Don't forget, man, the new album, Mink Slide, our Egyptian Musk album. You guys can get the pre-order this Saturday on iTunes. So everybody be sure to get the pre-order for the album on the 14th. And the full album comes out on July 20th. That's not this Friday, but the Friday after next. So everybody get your new Mink Slide album. We're going to bring that old school R&B or that traditional R&B back, or we're going to just take control of it, because so many in the dominant society have, they've taken over the R&B genre, and they're taking over the rap genre too. So it's really about us taking control of our stuff. I'm all about that. I'm all about taking back our shit. Things that we create, putting them back in our hands, and also just doing things from our perspective on our own terms. This is why next month, August, we're going to start the production for HC5. We're going to start in August. So many people have been hounding me about HC5 because of the times that we're in. People are like, man, we need this. So I had other projects scheduled, but I'm going to make a point to start the production of HC5 in August. We're definitely going to start production. Shout out to everybody in the room giving to the Melanoid Ministries. But it's just by popular demand, people are just demanding we get a new HC5 going on, and that's definitely going to come. And August, you know, August is a very significant month for empowerment, because the movie, the theme of the new HC5 is going to be about Black resistance, African warfare, Black people fighting white supremacy. We're going to really focus on that. And the month of August, that's the month of Ogun, the month of Sekhmet, the month of Leo, the fighter, the lion. So many great revolutions of that African people had took place in the month of August. August is a very significant month for melanated people of African descent. And we broke that down in the hidden color, not hidden color, in 1804. We broke that down. Look, the Haitian Revolution happened in August. The Jamaican independence happened in August. Marcus Garvey's birthday is in August. I think Haile Selassie's birthday is in August. The Watts riot happened in August. Just so many significant things happen in August. August is a very significant month for Black empowerment, Black people rising up. So I want to get that August energy. I want to get that to propel the film so we can really get these messages out there. But I digress. That's coming soon. That's coming soon. And if you don't have all the Hidden Colors series already, you can get them DVD or download. Get them right now at HiddenColorsFilm.com. HiddenColorsFilm.com. So later on in the show, we're going to break down the Purge movie. And again, for those who have not seen it, I suggest you see it before you listen to this show, because I'm going to give a lot of, I'm giving a lot of spoilers. I'm going to really break this movie down. Before I do that, a lot of people have been asking me about the McClure twins' dad. There's these cute little girls, these little Black girls called the McClure twins, and they're very popular on social media. They do little real, they're real cute. They do little cute stuff with each other. Cute little girls. And their dad, their mom is Black. And I didn't know this. They just looked like two regular little cute Black girls. But I didn't know until like a few months ago that, you know, the mom was Black and the dad was white. And the dad, you know, he's white. He has that suspected white supremacist look about himself. At this point, we can just tell the ones who could be suspected of being a white supremacist. They just have a certain look in their eye. They just have a certain beady white supremacist look in their eye. So, you know, nobody really tripped. You know, we saw that the dad was white. The mom is a Black Nigerian. So people, you know, we were already a little cautious about it. But recently, some tweets were discovered by the White Zaddy from years ago, where he was just making all types of disparaging remarks about all people, Black women, Black people, too. He would make little slick shit, make little comments about Black people, but really, he would talk slick shit about Black women in his old tweets. But he would say little shit like, Black people can't pronounce the word ask, but they can say Cadillac Escalade. Little, you know, those old white supremacist ass jabs that they take, that they try to disguise as jokes. I broke that down before. Go listen to my broadcast called Troll Flecting. how the white supremacists love trying to hide their racist agenda behind jokes. They've always done that, and I tell black people, do not fall for the white supremacists trying to hide their racism behind jokes. All of their white supremacist movements started behind jokes. Jim Crow started off as a joke. The Klan started off as a prank. It was a practical joke. Now these people have grown to be terrorist organizations. I mean, but he made a lot of disparaging remarks about black women in particular. And he had a blog where he would fetishize black women. It was just, and I'm not shocked. A lot of us are not really shocked. We're not shocked. But what's interesting, now that this guy's been outed as a suspected white supremacist, some people say confirmed, there's a lot of suspected bedwenches out here trying to cape. And I'm going to play a clip of him and his mammy Negro bedwench wife, low-key caping for him. But I've seen posts where suspected bedwenches are caping for this guy. Like, oh, well, that was in the past. And yeah, he said some disparaging things, but people changed. These are Negro suspected bedwenches saying this stuff. Now, what's interesting, when Stevante Clark, his brother, which one got killed? Was it Stevante or Stephen? Or Stephen, or whatever his name is. Stephen Clark, the brother who got killed up there in Sacramento by the race soldiers. They killed him, and he had the coon brother jumping around. Do you love me? All that coon shit. But Stephon Clark, you know, when he was... they found tweets of him making disparaging remarks about black women. Oh, people weren't really that forgiving, remember? They weren't really forgiving of him. They were like, shit, some of these women were like, he deserved to die based on his anti-black women tweets. But Zaddy, it's not Daddy. He don't supposed to die. White Zaddy, it's like, give White Zaddy a second chance. Let's give White Zaddy a second chance. People change. So the whole energy is different when it's White Zaddy talking crazy about sisters. And let me play him splaining, you know, his white supremacist views.
Some tweets were discovered from years ago that I had forgotten about, honestly. I converted my comedy page to our family page, and I forgot about some very distasteful tweets. These tweets were jokes that I did about race, I did about gender, I did about, you know, where I'm from in the South. That's what I thought was funny at the time. I was a comedian, so I would think of things on the subway.
Womp, womp, it's always, it's just jokes, la, la, la.
I would say it at open mic, or I would say it on Twitter, and I'd be done with it. These tweets or jokes were very distasteful. It's not a reflection of my humor now. I was a very insecure person. Years of therapy, years of sobriety.
Oh, it was the liquor. It was the drugs that made me a racist. That's that Roseanne shit. Oh, I took a pill and the pill made me racist. Womp, womp, womp. Womp, fucking womp.
All these things helped change my life. And through that, I met my family. I became a husband and a father, which I did not think I was capable of doing. The main thing is I had to get through that person who said those distasteful things to get to the person that I am now.
What I dislike is people always brandishing things as someone being racist.
Here's Mammy Bedwinch with the cape on. Mammy Bedwinch with the cape on. Here she go. Here she go, defending Zaddy.
Seeing things as someone being racist. Were they bad jokes? Absolutely. But is he a racist? I mean, really?
And I had probably...
Yeah, really. Yeah. Yeah, really. What you mean, is he racist? Well, yeah, really? Yeah, because he's with your little black ass? Yeah, really. Yeah, really, he is a racist. Yeah, really, he is. Let's get off this thing where just because you sucking Zaddy's dick, he ain't racist no more. What, you sucking the racism out of him? The fuck is wrong? What y'all talking about? This is why I don't really pull punches with these coons and bedwinches out here. I don't play with them. These bedwinches and mammies are very goddamn dangerous, and we have a real bad habit of making excuses for these mammy Negro bedwinches caping for these damn dirty, filthy fucking white supremacists out here. We got a real bad habit of that. And just because you think you fucking them and they laying up with you, that they didn't fuck the racism away. No, Thomas Jefferson had sex with sisters and had a bunch of damn slaves and got up out that bed and practiced white supremacy. Black people need to get off this thing where just because somebody in the dominant society is fucking you, they ain't racist no more. Get off that bullshit. For real.
Thousands of tweets, and these were just some of them. Like I said, they were all about many different subjects. There was no emotion behind them. They were just things that I thought were funny. It really comes down to how insecure I was and the validation I was trying to seek from an audience. I had to work on myself to get healthy, and therefore I do not find any of those things funny now.
Anybody's digging up stuff on anyone at all, I'm sure you'll find things you don't like.
Listen, if you want to dig up and find things, there's plenty there. And it's also well documented, the changes that I've gone through in sobriety and changes as a man.
Fuck all explaining. Okay, and him and Mammy, I'm tired of bed wenches and Massa. I'm tired. And this is another thing, too. Understand this. And I want y'all to get this part of the game. She's Nigerian. And I'm not, I know I go hard on a lot of Nigerian cats and a lot of African people who come over here. Or people of African direct African descent who have like a first or second generation connection to an African country. When they get over here, again, they coon screen. They make sure you're a coon or your parents are coons before they even get over here. So let's be clear, because I'm not throwing all my brothers and sisters in Africa under the bus, because I've been to Africa and there's a lot of brothers and sisters who are not cooning. But I know for a fact they coon screen. The coons get a fast pass over here. That's just the reality of the game. So you got to understand this. And you notice a lot of these Negro bedwinches are like from West Africa, Ghana, Nigeria. A lot of them are from certain parts of Africa. The bedwinching is very hard coming from there. And the thing is, this white supremacist suspect was making all these disparaging remarks about black women, but these Nigerian bedwinches, in their minds, they're like, well, he's talking about them. He ain't talking about me, because I ain't like one of the ones he's talking about. You understand? In the mind of some of these African bedwinches, they don't think that the white supremacists are talking about them. They think that they're somehow different. That's been the whole mix-up with a bunch of African people. They think the way we're treated, oh, well, shit, that's just them. I'm from the motherland, so shit. He ain't talking about me when he's talking all that Escalade. He ain't talking about me. Yes, he is. Ain't no white supremacy affecting me. I'm from Ghana. Ain't no white supremacy affecting me. I am from Nigeria. No white supremacy. We are running our country. The hell you are. When a white supremacist step over in one of them African countries, y'all bow the fuck down. And you know it. So you don't think, they don't think that they're like us. So that's why they're so quick to give them a pass. The white supremacists, they know how to mind fuck Negroes all over the country and all over the planet. You understand? We got to get off the bullshit and understand we're one big global nigga. When the white supremacist is talking about one of us, they're talking about all of us. We're one big global nigga. And this is another thing. With my African brothers and sisters, I really want y'all to get this part of the game. Because they give less than a shit about you than they do us. See, with us, they kind of monitor what we do because they know the potential black Americans have. They know black Americans are potentially dangerous. They got to really keep their eye on us. Or black people over here in this Western Hemisphere, because we brought it to their ass. We've brought it to their ass before in small numbers, not on a grand scale. But on a grand scale in Haiti, I will say that. But we brought it to their ass and kind of shook them up. They had to regroup and revamp their white supremacist structure. But it was the black people over here in the Western Hemisphere. We've historically brought it to that ass. And we have the potential to break down the entire system of white supremacy because we've been under the white supremacists directly for so long. But we got to understand this. And my African brothers got to get this too. I want y'all to check out the movie Hotel Rwanda. There was a very important scene in the movie Hotel Rwanda when the African tribes were killing each other in Rwanda and everybody was holed up in the hotel there. Nick Nolte, he played an American soldier, an American general or whatever. And the I think Don Cheadle's character stepped to him and said, "Hey, we need help. We need, the West must come help. That is warfare. The West must come help." And Nick Nolte said, "Look, man, they ain't coming to help you." "Why are they not coming?" He said, "But they, ain't nobody coming to help you because you guys aren't even niggas. You guys are African." That was a very pivotal line that was said in that movie, meaning that we like to keep the niggas around, meaning the American black folks, and with niggas globally, but he was really referring to American black people. We like to keep them around so that we can see them while we mistreat them, you know, because our identity is based on us in proximity to them. But you Africans, you don't even exist to us. You're like roaches to us, so whatever happens to you, we really don't give a shit. That's what he was saying in that movie. So we got to understand globally that we are one big nigga. All that tribal bullshit? No. We better have one melanoid empowerment tribe. And again, y'all think bedwinching is going to save you. Bedwinching ain't going to save you. And this is why we have to understand how people put these codes out through movies. And this is why you guys need to really study the movie The Purge, the first Purge. I want y'all to study that. That's going to be an assignment. I want y'all to study that movie. And also, there's a book that we've advertised on the show and I've talked about before, the book called Avoid the Machines. And there's a lot of stuff in this book that was kind of parallel to what was happening in the Purge movie. So y'all need to read this book and watch this movie. And I get on the book a little bit later. But in the Purge movie, the first Purge, what they're doing, they're going to have an experiment, and what they're going to do, they're just going to do it on Staten Island. And again, I'm giving spoilers, so don't even trip. But they're going to have this experiment on Staten Island where they're going to have the purge. Everybody can kill and you're not going to get punished. You know, the whole, that's how the basic premise of the purge is. But it in the other movies, it's a nationwide purge. But this one, it was on Staten Island. And that's very significant because the white supremacists, they're very particular about dealing with black people while they're surrounded on in water. Getting black people in a surrounded area like an island or a ship is very important. This is why a lot of prisons, like Rikers Island and all this stuff, are on islands. And what they wanted to do, they wanted to get people on Staten Island so nobody can get out, nobody can get in, nobody can get out. Nobody can get in, nobody can get out. This is very significant. They've always tried to do stuff like that. Black folks need to pick up on this. This is why whenever something goes down, make sure you're not somewhere where you're surrounded or outnumbered on an island somewhere. If you're on an island somewhere, make sure that you are the overt population. But this is why the white supremacists, whenever they're surrounded by water and black people, they always have to dominate. This is why on those slave ships, that's very dangerous for the white supremacists, because the white supremacists, they depend on a system, and that system provides backup for them. The white supremacists are on a one-on-one level, they're cowards. The white supremacists, they depend on backup. Once you're surrounded by water, you can't really get no backup unless the white supremacists have placed you on an island area where they control the dynamic all the way around. But notice on these slave ships, they would really, really have to get black people in complete domination and control. They would have to have them shackled up on the bottom of ships. They really had to have black people in check on ships, because when you don't and black people catch you slipping out there in the middle of the water, the white supremacists are usually fucked up. And there's something that we're going to talk about in the new Hidden Colors film on a side note, because we're talking about warfare. We're going to talk about a very unknown or little known race riot that happened on a ship in 1972, the USS Kitty Hawk, on this ship, there was a race riot where black soldiers, black Navy men, they got tired of being mistreated by the military. So they rose up and start beating the shit out of all the white supremacists on this ship. They beat the fuck out of like 50 of them. And it was like, these brothers were outnumbered. There was only 300 of these brothers. And it was like, damn near 5,000 or like 4,000 suspected white supremacists on the ship. And they just kept doing little shit to the brothers. And once they got out there to sea, wasn't no backup, nothing. They start giving them motherfuckers the business. They had that whole ship shook. And they don't like to talk about that. That's some shit that's really been buried. Yeah, none of y'all never heard of that. This is something that's been buried. We're going to break that down in the next Hidden Colors film. You understand? Yeah, somebody said in the chat room, we need to make a movie about that ship. Why are you bullshitting? I've been thinking about that. And it was 300 brothers putting in work. That's why I always tell you, 300 is a very significant number. If you get, they understand, the white supremacists, if you get 300 black folks on code, that's a problem. 300 black folks on code is a problem. You don't need to get everybody on code. Just 300 black folks can change everything. Who's on the same page, ready to whoop ass, that can change history. You understand? But back to the movie. So in the movie, there were people, they were signing people up for the purge. They were saying, we're going to give you $5,000 to participate in the purge. They were offering people money. They said, we're going to give you a computer chip in your arm to kind of monitor everything. And it was a lot of poor black folks signing up to get that little $5,000. And there was a sister who was an activist who was trying to warn people, hey, don't sign up. Don't be down with this bullshit. This is something you don't want to do. And what they were doing, they were planning on targeting the housing projects on Staten Island. They kept showing all these black folks in the housing project. They threw in a couple of Latinos. They tried to make it this whole minority coalition bullshit. But they were showing the housing projects. Now, this goes again to the book, Avoid the Machines. In the book, Avoid the Machines, they were talking about how the white supremacists were going to target these housing projects called townships for genocide. But in the movie, they were going to target the housing projects. On the night of the purge, a lot of black people started to gather up in a church for safety. Black people started preparing for the purge because they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know what was going to go down. So black people piled up in church, just like we do whenever we're scared. And once the purge started, you know, everything went down. It was like one crackhead black dude killed a Latino guy at an ATM and all this. So they were trying to see, you know, they were waiting on people to start killing. And in the movie, they had a purge party. So a lot of black folks had a block party doing the purge. There were some black folks walking around with guns. They were like, hey, man, you going to the purge party? They was like, what's that? I don't know. We're just going to go have a good time. So there were white supremacist white people, like the government, kind of monitoring what was going on. And they saw the purge party, and there's one white guy, I think he might have been the president or whatever. He was like, what's this? They're having a party? Are you serious? They're having a party right now? And that was very significant because black folks do stupid shit like that. That was them showing the reality of our mindset. That was very significant. They were showing how the white supremacists view black folks out here dancing and partying in the middle of warfare. They're like, are these people that fucking dumb? We're having a purge and they're having a party? And this is what happens at these protests all around the country. I talk about that all the time. These protests where you're supposed to be fighting non-justice, somebody put on some music and everybody starts damn twerking. You dig? So anyway, people at the purge party, and then this one crackhead who's, you know, they done put a chip in him and some contact lenses where you can monitor what's going on and you can see what they're seeing. He goes to the party and starts stabbing folks up. That's very significant too. The crackhead almost represented a coon to me. He was like doing the dirty work for the white supremacists, and they made him this real scary looking crackhead. So this crackhead was real villainy in the movie. He had a real villainy vibe. But yeah, it's real strange to people and empowered black folks to see us partying when there's warfare going on. And the hero, it was a black guy who was the hero of the movie. He's the guy who played in the TV show Insecure. I can't think of his name. Has a Wesley Snipes kind of look. A little short dude with a Wesley Snipes kind of look. So he was the hero. He was the drug dealer. He was like the drug kingpin on Staten Island. So a lot of people in the streets respected him. He had a crew and all this stuff. And I don't want to give too much of that away. I'm just trying to give you the particulars. Yeah, the crackhead's name was Skeletor. Yeah, it was the crazy-looking crackhead, an evil-looking crackhead. So once the purge started, black folks out here partying and dancing, the crackhead starts stabbing folks up, and then this alt-right looking white supremacist group showed up. They showed up on the island with these strange looking flags, and they were dressed the exact same way the white supremacists in the Charlottesville, Virginia march was dressed, in white shirts and brown khaki pants. They were dressed in the exact same clothes as those white supremacists in Charlottesville, Virginia. The exact same way. So they were going around killing black people. So these white supremacist alt-right people dressed up like real alt-right white supremacists, they went to the church and start killing all the black people in the church. They went in there and started slaughtering all the black people on some Dylann Roof shit. And what they were doing, the white supremacist alt-right dudes, they were just going around like door to door on some neo-Nazi shit, killing all the black people. They went to the housing projects on some shit where they were targeting all the black people. And again, you had the dark Latina in there. You know, they were trying to make it this big minority coalition. There was this one token Asian guy hanging with the black folks, the older black cats. So they had this token minority bullshit in there. There were a lot of dog whistles in this movie. And there was one scene where it was the white woman who was the mastermind of the purge. She was like, well, we're just doing the purge so that we can get people to get their frustrations out. That was the white woman who helped create the concept of the purge in the movie. But there's this sinister, this NRA type of representative dude. He said something, literally, he said, well, look, the reason why we're having this purge and we're targeting these poor people, which were black people, basically. Well, the problem is we're just overpopulated and we got to get rid of some of these people. So they were just blatant with the whole racial genocide thing. This movie went beyond dog whistles and they just straight up said it. We're overly populated and we got to get rid of some of these people. Marissa Tomei, that's the woman's name who was the lady who created the purge concept. So she was like, oh no. Now, which was very strange. All of a sudden, it's some moral thing she got onto. No, we didn't want this to be a genocide, racial. No. We just wanted to let people vent their frustration for the day. And they were like, get her out of here. So they took her outside and killed her. So the white woman sacrifice, that was very significant. These white supremacists are sending messages to each other with these movies. And they are very quick to sacrifice the white women who are not on board with the genocide campaign. The book, The Turner Diaries, go into that. They go into that. Talking about if these white women ain't on it, you kill these white women too, especially the ones who's on some interracial dating shit. You got to kill all of them. And speaking of that, there was a scene where the black dudes, the drug dealers, they were going to go out and protect the neighborhood or whatever during the purge. And they were driving by a car where a black dude was having sex with a white woman on the hood. And they got hit by a car full of white supremacists. And I think the car hit the couple having sex on the car, too. I think they might have been killed. That was very significant. That was more, again, a nod to that Charlottesville thing where they used a car to run over people, and they killed a white woman who wasn't on board. You understand? So they're sending very, very blatant messages out here. And in some of the scenes, the white supremacists were carrying torches. You dig? But this is the thing. In the movie, they showed a very cartoonish image of the white supremacists. Now, they showed white extremists. In certain scenes, they showed white dudes dressed as Klansmen driving around killing black people. And the brothers were fighting back the Klan. And there was another scene where you had these militia groups who were dressed like Nazis, dressed up like SS soldiers in Nazi Germany. They were going around killing folks. So to give the audience, the white audience, a way to disassociate themselves from the racialized murders that was going on, they made the white supremacists white extremists. So that gave the average white supremacist suspect watching the movie a way to disconnect himself from that. Do y'all understand that? Let me give you an example. In the dominant society, when you talk about racism, the dominant white society, they think racism is two things. Racism is either card-carrying Klan, neo-Nazi, or alt-right members, or racism is black people pointing out white supremacy. Nothing else is racist to them, if you let them tell it. Let me say that again. The white supremacists, or the dominant white society, who believe in white supremacy, to them, racism is black people pointing out white supremacy. Like, oh my God, you're being racist by doing that. Or white supremacy or racism is the Klan, skinhead, neo-Nazis, or one of those type of people. Nothing else is racism, according to them. There's always an excuse for white supremacy. So they are able to disconnect a connection between them. They're not offended. Let's, I'll put it this way. If they see a Klan member or an alt-right person get beat up, they're not as offended as if just a civilian, normal white supremacist or white supremacist suspect is getting harmed. You understand? So this is a way for the audience to disconnect from it. So they don't mind to see a bunch of Klan members or Nazis get beat up by black dudes. Because what happened with the movie, even though they made the black guy the hero, even though they made him the victor, it was a black dude, I can't think of his brother's name, but the guy from Insecure, he was ultimately the hero in the movie. So they didn't have a problem with that because he's fighting those people over there, those extremists. He's not fighting the everyday average white supremacist. He's not fighting the everyday race soldier who works in law enforcement. He's not fighting the everyday judge or the everyday white supremacist librarian or the white supremacist pool lady who calls the police on black people trying to swim. See, the white supremacists, they identify with that. But they might not identify with a card-carrying white extremist. You understand? So we have to understand why they would let a movie like this go down. It's just like Django. If you look at the movie Django, they let the black character Django kill a bunch of slave owners and low-level, Django didn't kill too many slave owners unless he got the permission of the white guy, but they let the Django character kill a bunch of low-level white dudes. So they didn't have a problem with that. They're desensitized to that. You understand? Now, just because a person might be desensitized to a white extremist, that doesn't mean that they're not a white supremacist. There's all types of infighting within the white supremacist movement. So you got to understand that. But some of the stuff they were saying in this movie was some real shit. They were talking about how they killed some of the white supremacists and they saw some tattoos on them. And they were like, hey, these guys are connected to Blackwater. and they heard somebody speaking on a walkie-talkie, and they were like, wait, he's Russian. And they were talking about how these hired mercenaries are hired from all over the world to work for these private military companies. And if you listen to my show, I talk about that all the time. I've been talking about that for years, how you have privatized military organizations like Blackwater, which is connected to Trump. Blackwater, the new name of Blackwater is now Academy, but Blackwater is this privatized military organization founded by Eric Prince. Eric Prince is the brother of Betsy DeVos, who is Trump's leader of education, the Department of Education, Betsy DeVos. People were wondering, why in the fuck is Betsy DeVos in charge of national education, and she has zero experience in that? That's a token position. That's just Trump playing chess, putting these people's family members in political power, in political positions, so that they can obtain an ultimate goal. But yeah, they talked about Blackwater in this movie. So y'all better look. This is why I be dropping these names and these companies on you, so when you hear them, you'll see what people are talking about. And speaking of Blackwater and Eric Prince, there was something that came out really today where they're trying to have privatized military to fight over there in Afghanistan. They're trying to get funding to some of these privatized military groups to fight over there in Afghanistan right now. So these people are very real. So also, if they get a privatized military group over here, they're not going to be beholden to the Constitution. Whereas if government employees were doing a real purge and a real genocide, the people who would survive, ultimately there could be lawsuits and all that, but because they would have violated the Constitution. But if you get a privatized military group, they don't have to abide by the Constitution. They don't have to follow any rules. That's very significant to catch. Y'all better catch all this stuff that these people are saying, because this movie basically was giving white supremacists all around the world, especially in this country, it was giving them the blueprint on what to do. You understand? This movie, The First Purge, it was giving white supremacists who might not be on code or whatever, but it was giving them the blueprint on what to do about the Negro problem. Don't be fooled that there is a white victor, or not a white, a black victor in this movie. They'll throw that in there to throw you off. And also they'll throw that in there to let the dominant white supremacists know that just because some of these niggas are dancing over here, just because some of these niggas are stupid, just because some of these niggas on crack, don't underestimate them. There might be a group of super niggas out here that might be a problem. Do you understand that, family? But in this movie, the black hero, and somebody in the room tell me that brother's name. I'm getting deep now. Y'all, I want y'all to really study this movie. Isn't a private military illegal according to the UN? Man, please. They got private military all over the world. The UN, hell, genocide is supposed to be illegal. Black folks getting targeted based on race is supposed to be illegal. What has the UN done? The UN always waves a finger talking about, oh, y'all, United States, y'all shouldn't be doing that to the black folks. They ain't gonna do nothing. Yeah, he played as Daniel in Insecure, but what's his name? Yian Noel. It's Yian Noel. Okay, so Yian Noel, in the movie, you know, he's a drug dealer. And, you know, some of his boys got killed. So he's like solo now. He's going into this housing project building because now you got these straight up neo-Nazis going door to door, just slaughtering all the black people. And that's another thing. In this movie, they had a lot of slaughtered and dead black people in this movie. Just black people laying all in the hallway, laying all in the streets. They had a big body count of black people in this movie slaughtered by these white supremacists. That visual was very interesting. But the Yian guy, he's on some Wesley Snipes shit, and his character almost became cartoonish too, because he was on some superhero shit. The way he was fighting and the way he was handling these neo-Nazis and Klan, it was it became too unbelievable. It was like, okay, this dude is supposed to be a neighborhood drug dealer. Now, where did he get all these fighting moves? This dude was, it was like watching another version of the Black Panther. I'm like, okay, is this nigga from Wakanda? The shit he was doing, the average drug dealer wouldn't know how to do all this old shit. The fighting and, you know, then it became cartoonish. It almost, it had that blaxploitation vibe. And a lot of people in the dominant white society, they didn't have a problem with the blaxploitation movies because they know, okay, this is just nigga fantasy. You know, the nigga with the big pimp hat doing karate moves and all this old stuff. So they didn't get bothered by that because it was so cartoonish. You understand? But yeah, he was on some Passenger 57 shit. So, you know, that became a little unbelievable. And they showed a younger dude. He was kind of a klutz in the movie. You know, his sister kept having to save him. But again, the message in this movie was, just because we got a lot of silly Negroes out here, don't underestimate a small group of Black folks who ain't on that dumb shit. A small group of Black people who are on code, they could be a problem for us. You understand? So the thing is, we got to understand these movies are sending real messages to each other. And they're giving messages and nod to each other on how to handle us if things went down. So this is why, again, watch this movie and in parallel, check out that book, Avoid the Machines, because it talks about the same thing. It talks about a racial war. The only difference is in this movie, the Black people were fighting from a defensive stand, which put them at a weakness because you're fighting on the terms of the white supremacists. They've set up the terrain for you to fight, so you're going to be at a disadvantage. In the book, Avoid the Machines, the Black rebels, they're fighting from an oppositional stance. They took on the white supremacists. They went to their neighborhoods and started to attack them, which put the white supremacists at a disadvantage. You understand? See, they always show you things from a perspective that's going to weaken you in movies. But when you make a preemptive attack, that puts the people you attack at a disadvantage. That's why the Haitian Revolution was so successful, because it was the Haitians that started to attack the white supremacists. They attacked them on their terms. That's how you throw them off guard. Real deep stuff. Yeah, the movie is called, not the movie, but the book is called Avoid the Machines. And you got to look at The Purge and read that book in conjunction, because there's a lot of parallels in the book and in this movie. Real heavy stuff. But they're using their propaganda to give messages to each other. And this is why it's important for us to have our propaganda, our movies, which is what we're going to start doing next month. We're going to get the next Hidden Colors 5 popping, so we can let each other know how to defend ourselves and be on code and protect ourselves and protect our families. You dig? Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. But again, check out that movie. Yeah, the people in Haiti still got that warrior spirit over there now. They're wrecking shit now because they put those gas prices up and they're trying to fleece the people. You dig? But Black folks, what I'm tired of seeing of us showing videos of us getting punked out and beat up. You dig? I keep seeing video after video every single day of Black person getting harassed, Black children getting harassed, Black kids delivering newspapers getting harassed. They're getting the cops called on them. Black people going swimming, getting the cops called on them. The white supremacists, they taste blood and they taste weakness. And they're going to keep attacking you. It's not going to stop. And Black people are still trying to go out here publicly and party and not be aware of their surroundings. The white supremacists are going to keep on attacking you. And I'm tired of Black folks sending me videos where Black folks are standing around screaming and yelling. I saw a video where some elderly Black woman, she looked like she might have been in her 60s, some chick's mom was getting handcuffed and thrown out the car, and black folks just standing around crying and yelling. Crying and yelling ain't gonna save you, black people. Standing around, crying and yelling, begging and pleading, that ain't gonna help you. That they love to hear that. The white supremacists love hearing you crying and pleading. Who you crying and pleading to? I don't want to see another video of y'all sending me some black person, their parent or their relative or their child is getting gaffled up by race soldiers, and you just standing there crying and screaming. Like Neely Fuller said, when you at war, when you go out the house, you better expect that to happen. That's why you better remain cool, remain calm. If a race soldier pull you up or pull you over, you just expect to be mistreated in a system of white supremacy. That's why every day we should always, in everything we do, be in the mindset where we're trying to replace the entire system of white supremacy with a system of justice. They're not going to stop. Let's just get over that. Dancing. They mock your dancing and partying. Dancing, partying, drugging, getting high, that ain't gonna save you. Trying to escape and then act shocked when these white supremacists roll up on you, thinking that it ain't gonna happen to you. It's them over there. I'm a coon. Ain't nothing gonna happen to me. I's a coon. No, you too. It's gonna get everybody. That's why we got to be on melanoid empowerment 24 hours a day. Every day you get up, you better be on your melanoid empowerment code. You dig? Black people think we just going to bury our head in the sand and the white supremacist genocidal movement is just going to go away. These people on some genocide shit right now. You better act like a rioter and act like you in war. And get your mind right, and don't focus on the coons. Somebody said Candace Owens. Don't focus on those coons again. We got to stop arguing with coons. The coons are put there by the white supremacists. That's who put the coons there. The coons are put there by the white supremacists. Just like you study that movie. That's why y'all got to study the movie. This, the black crackhead going around killing people, starting off the purge. He was put there by the white supremacists. They paid him and got him ready for the purge. That's very significant. That's them sending messages like, hey, we need to control our Negroes and have our specialized Negroes in certain positions. That's why they got to keep you broke. When you broke, a broke hoe is a good hoe because you'll do anything for money. That's why we got to be on an empowerment tip where we know how to aggregate our money and create an economic base for ourselves. That's why they love keeping us broke. When you broke, they'll do anything to you. You're easily controlled when you're broke. We got to understand military science and social science and psychological science, the way they deal with us during warfare. Warfare is mostly mental. Warfare is a mostly mental thing. That's why that book, Avoid the Machine, it talks about that. The name of the book is called Avoid the Machines because they're telling each other, watch out for their machines. That's their strength. All you got to do is just watch out for the machines of the white supremacists and attack them directly. Don't be afraid of their machines. The machines, that's the only thing they got. That's their only strength. If you go around that and attack them, the machines that they use against you they're going to be nullified. Real shit. But you got to understand game and understand what these people are saying to themselves and saying to each other. Yeah. The warfare is in your mind. Your mind is the military. The military is in your mind. And if you have a military mindset, you can weaponize anything. But anyway, man, I digress. Y'all go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to check out all the Hidden Colors films. And again, study not only The Purge, but study the movie 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. Study that movie. If you have not seen it, y'all need to study that movie. If you like the Hidden Colors movies, I call 1804. That's Hidden Colors 4.5. Study that movie. That's your assignment. If you have not seen 1804, which all of you should have, study that movie. 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti, talks about how unarmed black people beat the mightiest armies in the world. They destroyed or they removed military white supremacy from that island at the time. Real deep shit. that guerrilla warfare. Yeah, there was guerrilla warfare in The Purge. But study that. Anyway, y'all, I'm out of here. Y'all be good, family. I'm going to holler at you guys this Sunday. Y'all be good. And don't forget the pre-order for the movie. Not the movie, but the Mink Slide album this Saturday. Holler.